Okay, just tell me your name, your name and your age when you were born.
Well, my age is 98.
Yeah.
I was born July the 19th, 1898.
How long have you been living in Wilmington?
Since 1914.
And where were you? Do you remember where you moved or where you've been living?
No, moved no place. Came from the other side over here.
And where? What street?
I landed in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Off of the boat, and then my uncle brought me down here, and that's where I'm here yet.
Do you remember the address where you stayed the first time, the first house you had?
227 Shipley Street. My aunt lived there.
Yeah, yeah. And
he was an art worker and circle member too.
Okay.
He was a Blattman.
Oh, he was a Blattman. That's how you know.
Huh? Her father and my uncle were brothers. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, well, you learned something.
Okay. Now, let's see. Tell me about what you remember about Wilmington in the 1930s, 1940s. What was life like in the 1930s and 1940s? What was going on?
Yeah,
well, what did you do for a living? What do you remember about the city? Let's say 2nd Street. What was happening in around 2nd Street?
What was happening? Do you want to know about it? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
As far as Judaism,
yeah,
we had 4 butchers.
Okay.
We had Dave Cohn.
Yeah.
Avon Schlutt,
right.
Philip Schlutt,
right.
Willie Bank,
right.
Then later on, the Workman's Circle opened another butcher store. Used to be called Cooperative Butcher Store on the corner of 2nd and Tatna.
Right.
Was the one road store.
Okay.
They opened the Workman's Circle over the butcher store for the operating members.
Okay.
And that's what I. And then we had. We had 3 bakeries.
Yeah.
We had Rachet's.
Right.
And we had Mrs. Glick.
Yeah.
And we had Percy Corn on King Street.
Okay.
At that time, it used to be Knopf the baker. Percy Corn came from Philly and bought that from Knopf.
Okay.
The baker, you know, but it used to be a baker by the name of Knopf on between Front and 2nd on King.
Right.
Percy Corn was there. You know Percy Corn, you remember.
Okay. All right, let's see. Any delicatessen that you remember there?
Oh, sure. What do you mean? Rips?
Yeah.
Rips was one. Teitelbaum was the oldest one, see?
All right.
Max Teitelbaum in the 100 block.
Okay.
Across from the fire engine house.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to have his delicatessen.
Okay.
And then Rips opened up, and then Rips sold to Shapiro, see? Rips sold to Shapiro, but in the meantime, my brother opened the delicatessen store across the street. There was one row of stores.
Okay.
He used to be at a delicatessen store.
I remember that.
Okay.
All right.
let me see. do you remember Market Street below 4th, Market Street in Wilmington?
Yes.
Any stores, any businesses?
Businesses were on Market Street all the way down to Front.
Yeah, which ones do you remember? What particular? Do you remember any?
I remember any.
Happy's, Leibowitz?
Leibowitz. Not Happy's. Happy's was between 4th and 5th.
Goldenberg's,
2nd. He was a cripple. He used to walk around with a cane.
Yeah.
2nd the Market. Nancy's.
Father's father.
How about Danforth?
Danforth was there.
Was there then.
2nd and Market.
Yeah.
On the corner.
Okay.
But the store was next to the corner.
How about your brother-in-law Jimmy had a store there?
Yeah, my brother-in-law Jimmy Goldstein had a store. Between 2nd and Man's Clothing Store, between 2nd and 3rd on Market.
So there was a lot of business then.
Oh, yeah. Every store was taken. We made a living, too.
Yeah.
We didn't need a hell of a lot then, but we made a living.
Okay. Tell me about the religious activities. Like, do you remember Chesed Shalemeth?
I remember. I lived next door to it. My address was 227, and the Hizitz Ramiz was 229, and then was the Schwitz.
Then
I used to go out of the Hizitz Ramiz and go to Schwitz.
Right.
Who was the rabbi?
Yeah, the rabbi there. Who was?
We didn't have no rabbi then. It was a Kander, but I don't remember rabbi. It was a Kander was there for my days.
How about Rabbi First? Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. What do you mean?
Tell me about him. Tell me what you remember, what you recall about him.
He was a good man.
Yeah.
He knows enough. He knows more than whole Wilmington knows. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
He could read the Torah without looking at it.
He had
that man.
By memory.
Huh?
He knew about
him. Oh, yeah. Him.
Okay. Okay.
But he was on his way out when he came here, and then he got the stroke, see? See, he was when he left Connecticut, he was on his way out, Mar.
Okay.
And then he got the stroke here, see?
Yeah.
As many times as I took him to shul and home,
yeah.
I used to leave my store and go take him to shul.
So you mentioned the Schwitz. You met, who? What was it, the...
who
owned the Schwitz? Then when I came to Wilmington, Mr. Nissenbaum owned the Schwitz.
Then went out.
And then? Who after that?
After that, Katz.
Katz.
He rebuilded it and he owned it. Katz's father. That back Katz's father, Louis. You remember Louis Katz?
Yeah.
Mars
Katz. Well, their father bought it, see?
Okay.
And they remodeled it, they rebuilt it, you know, and opened the Schwitz.
Okay.
I used to go there.
Was there a lot of activity in the Schwitz, a lot of community?
Them days we did, but when they were eaten, they came from the other side, we did, then they died out. There was no, they didn't eat no Schwitz. Well,
they had supper times for women to go there?
Tuesday, women used to go there on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
But men used to go to Saturday night and Sunday, see?
Okay.
Did you play cards in there?
Some people used to play cards, yeah.
How about eat?
They could play rummy.
How about eat?
Eat? They used to eat there. Sure, he used to make meals for us.
Yeah.
All deli stuff, you know.
Okay.
Sandwiches, you know.
What if a person didn't have a place to stay? They used to stay there, right?
What?
If a person didn't have a place to stay.
I couldn't tell you.
Some people used to stay there.
Really? I couldn't tell you.
Tell me what you remember. You also had some activities in the YMHA, the Jewish Community Center. Was it at?
Well, when I came here, the YMHA was over the top of Ben Woodruff's store.
Third and King. Okay.
That's when the YMHA was them days, see?
Right.
That was in 1914, don't forget, see?
Right.
He used to have the YMHA there.
Okay.
They used to have voyagers together up there and meetings. My Mike used to fight. He fought me. He first came to Wilmington.
Be a fighter?
Yeah.
Mike Polsky, that's his brother-in-law.
Okay.
My wife's brother, the youngest one.
Mike Polsky. Let me see. Tell me about Workman's Circle. You were active in the Workman Circle.
No, I wasn't, but I always joined them, you know.
Okay.
But my two uncles, Blatman and Mr. Platinsky.
Okay.
Manny's father-in-law. You remember Manny Caney?
No, I don't.
Manny Caney had a clothing store. Worked for Waller's, Jack in the Market.
No. But anyway.
The Caney family.
Okay, the Workman Circle at that time was on Shipley, 2nd and Shipley. Is that right? Where was it located?
Between 2nd and 3rd
on
Shipley.
Okay. Public schools at that time, you remember any of your children went to some public schools?
Mom, my kids went to Wilmington. Nate started across from my store, 30th and Madison. Number two school.
Number two, okay.
I think it used to be number two school, I believe.
Yeah.
And my Ben also started.
Didn't Ben ever go to the Mary C. I. Women's School?
And third Street.
Third and Monroe.
Okay.
I don't know if Monroe was built, Mary C. Williams was built yet, was it?
Yeah.
Well, my band started there, see?
Okay.
And my second boy, he started at Mercy Eye, but we moved over on this side of town, so he went to 30th Madison School, you know, where the playground is now?
Yeah.
That's where he was in school. Where he started school.
Yeah, okay.
And he didn't want to go to school. He was a terrible child to go to school. He hated school.
You used to work on Second Street for my father. What year was that?
For your father? Yes. That was in the 30s.
That's what he wanted to know about.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
I worked for so many people. I worked the first time when I came here.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Depression. Very tough. It was very tough. I got a job peddling, you know, with a friend of mine. I lived in the same house with me.
Yeah.
We used to go to Rockland and peddle some clothing for kids. You know, used to walk from Second Shipley, buy the stuff in Delaware Novelty House on Market Street. Do you remember the Delaware Novelty House? No.
Binder.
No.
Zenker.
Who?
Who was the Delaware Novelty?
The Tupkins owned them.
Oh,
then.
Yeah, the Tupkins.
Yeah, so you carried that.
You used to carry the pack on the shoulder and go to Rockland because it was a nickel coffer. Me and the man that took me, we both used to walk. If we made enough 50 cents during the day, we spent a nickel for a coffer. Otherwise, we walked back home, too.
You had a long walk.
But it wasn't too bad them days. I walked longer than that. But that was no good, so I gave it up. And then this fellow that I went with, he took me down to the Tompkins factory. They used to be on 2nd and Adams.
Yeah.
Before they came to 3rd and Third and French, they were on 2nd and Adams,
yeah.
An old building there. And they used to make underwear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job there, $2.50 a week, 5.5 days, 10 hours a day.
Okay. You worked hard.
And then what did you do? He knows everything.
Oh, gosh, then I had so many jobs, Marvin, God, I don't have that many in Liverpool. As many jobs as I had, I had so many jobs. And I worked for my uncle, roofing.
Yeah, you did roofing. Okay. Did you encounter any anti-Semitism while you were working? Any problems?
Not then.
Not then.
I didn't have come then.
So okay.
I didn't come across it.
Okay.
I didn't pay no attention to it, tell you the truth, for one thing.
You're working too hard.
All I was busy is trying to work, that's all, to get paid.
Okay.
I worked in Pullman shop. I went there during the war, you know. I went there as a roofer, as a tinsman. See?
Okay.
I worked a little bit of roofing, and I got a little idea that I wanted to work for Pullman's. Worked fixing the roofs on the cars.
Okay. Do you remember any of the Jewish community leaders at the time? Were there anybody who were some of the people that you recall? Some of the leaders in the community.
The biggest leader in the community was Louis Tompkins.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you. The rest of the Tompkins didn't mean a damn. Louis Tompkins. He was the leader. He had a Scottish, and he was the leader of the city, and he was the leader of everything else.
Okay. let me see here. We've got a couple more questions. Tell me, what changes in Jewish life, let's say from, you know, when you were young to now, any changes in Jewish life that are good, not so good? What do you want to tell me about?
They were good them days.
Yeah, why?
We stayed together. We were close together.
Uh-huh.
You understand? They were good them days.
Yeah.
They were good them days. They no comparison to the days of today, to my days. Not to yours, but to my own idea.
Well, I'm asking, I want you to...
There's no comparison. They were a good Jewish life. It was a good Yiddish Lebim, you understand?
Yeah.
And Second Street, it was the only street where the Jewish people gathered, that's all. From Second and Shipley, Shapiro had a grocery store on the corner, David the Butcher was across the street on Shipley Street, Harry Cohn's father. You remember Harry Cohn was a butcher here in Wilmington?
Yeah.
His father, Dave.
So a lot of the Jewish life centered around Second Street.
I lived around, within the 10-block distance, but that's close, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's close, see? McShire lived 6th and Washington them days. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. McShire lived 6th and Washington.
I see.
Them days.
So most of the Jews in the city lived in that area.
Lived within the city. Within a distance of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's 514 to Washington, you know, with the bridge. Mm-hmm. That's where most of the people lived at. Okay. When you lived on 8th Street, 9th Street, you lived in a fancy neighborhood there.
Yeah, right.
You understand? You were among the 400.
I understand.
You understand?
Now, let me say, suppose you're going to talk to people 50 years from now. What are you going to tell them? What do you want them to know about things today? What advice, what suggestions you have for the Jewish community, the young people growing up? What would you want them to know? What do you want to tell them? What do you want to know? What do you want them to know about your times? Anything?
Not much. Only the Jewish people were closer together than they are now.
So that's missing.
You understand? It's not here.
It's missing.
That's right. But them days, we were close together. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, we had to go down Second Street to get close together, see? Because everybody had a little business, a little store, lived away, you know.
Yeah.
But when we got together, we were on Second Street. We were in shul. We were in the workmen's circle. We were together, you know, that's all. But the distance kept us apart then. Now, the ornery-ness keeps them apart. A too goddamn ornery.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you.
So the people in the future, you want them to know that it was a closer, your time was closer, the people were...
Oh my.
You miss it?
Yeah, yes indeed. Yeah, but... you know, don't forget, I've been here since 14. That's 80 years, 82 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here my days.
Yeah.
I came right here when I got off the boat. My uncle took me to Wilmington, and I'm still here.
How many businesses did you have here?
Oh, gosh.
You have a lot of stores.
Yeah.
Well, the first store I had was I bought the store 12th and French with my stepfather. And then I got married and I bought a store 12th and West. Then I went out of business from 12th and West and I went to the garage business and I lost every dime I had during the Depression. You know why? They took the law off of the cars to park outside. They moved the law away. I moved out too for nothing. Didn't have nothing. See? In 1 month, I lost 17 customers, 17 cars. In 1 month, 17 cars because they let them park on the street.
Yeah.
So I went broke, and I went broke. I went to work. I bought a truck, and I went down the country.
Yeah.
I bought a open Ford truck, and I went down the country to pick up chickens and eggs and stuff. It was no damn good. I couldn't make a living off of it. But anyhow, later on, all the jobs are gone. I bought a little store. I bought a little store, 32nd Monroe. Mm-hmm. See? I bought a little store, and I got a job with her father. See? I got a job driving the truck, serving bread. And my wife used to stay in the store. I had 3 children then, too. My wife stayed in the store daytime, and I used to stay in the evening till 10 o'clock at night and get up 2 in the morning and go to work. See, I used to come home and have lunch and have a nap, and I'd get up 6 o'clock. My wife would go in the house, and my mother lived with me too. And we only had 2 bedrooms. And I had 3 kids. And I used to get up in the afternoon and take over the store. Before I come home, I used to go and buy the stuff. I'd stop at the cigar store, I'd stop at the meat store, whatever I needed to buy and stuff. And I'd bring it in my truck, in the baker truck. Because in the bakery, I'd go to work 4 o'clock, 3:30, I'd be there to load up. See? And I used to stay till 10 o'clock at night, and then I'd go to bed for a couple hours, and then I'd get up and go to work on a bread truck.
So you worked very hard. Yeah, you worked very hard.
Well, this I'll leave you say it. I don't say it. I'm here anyhow.
Yeah.
I'm here anyhow, Marvin.
Okay.
I have a tough life. Yeah, I did. Tougher than some of them did.
You have grandchildren?
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, I got 10.
What advice you want to give them? You want to tell them anything? What do you want to tell them?
They don't want to listen to me anyhow if I tell them.
Why not?
Well, my mind and their mind are not the same. We don't click. That's all.
Well,
they live a different life. I told them that I want them to live the life that I was raised on, and they laughed at me when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids, I'm not very successful with my kids because they marry Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Not all of them.
Not all of them. I know, but.
What
bothers him a lot.
Okay. What advice you want to give to kids for the future? What, any advice that you want to give?
All the advice that I wanted to give by the kids, all the kids. All the Yiddish kids.
Right.
They're born Jews, they should die Jews and stay Jews, that's all. And obey the Jewish religion.
Okay.
That's what it's made for them, and for me and for everybody else. And them floating around, they wind up behind the egg ball anyhow. 9 out of 10 burn behind the egg ball.
Okay.
No life.
You got
I
any
can.
Questions?
What do you want?
You got
I don't
any?
Know. I'm trying to think of something else I want to ask you.
Ask?
I don't know. I have to think. I'm not so fast as you.
Well, you think. I'll tell you. If I know, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I told him whatever he asked me, whatever I know, Mom, and
did
I think...
You always belonged to the Chesed Shalemis.
Elvis.
Until they merged together.
Always.
Okay.
Always. And worked for it all my life.
Since I was
married.
Were you ever the president of the Chesed Shalemis?
Yeah.
Twice.
1 year. The year that the World War II started, I resigned. When they took Ben in the army,
mm-hmm.
I resigned. I gave up. I was 40 and 41. I was president of the Chesed Shalemis.
You were also an officer at Addis Kodesh.
Oh yeah.
You're
and Gabba, here's the chart. You can read right up there, Marvin.
Okay.
And it'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
But I was president. I resigned because the war broke out.
Right.
You understand?
And then when it merged, you used to go to this.
I merged with them, and they merged, and I've been on the board all my life in neither one of the shuls. You hear?
Okay.
I was on the board in the Chesed Shalemis ever since I got married, and I was on the board over here.
We have to talk about the Chevra Kedisha. Do you know
about Marvin?
Go ahead.
Okay, Marvin.
Yeah.
Tell them about the Chevra Kedisha, Phil.
Well, Chevra Kedisha?
Yeah.
Well, it was during the World War I when we had that sickness, you know.
The influenza.
Influenza, a cholera. In Europe, we've been a cholera. A cholera in dream.
Right.
It kills people, that's all. They walk and they drop dead.
Yeah.
Go do them something. They walk on Second Street and they drop dead. They lay there and there was nobody to pick him up.
So anyhow,
I was working for Pusey and Jones then in a shipyard. And I used to work most of the time weekends. Why? Because it was double pay. And then I used to take off 2-3 days during the week so it wouldn't come into work.
Right.
It worked pretty good for me, see. I was single. I lived checking an org with my brother right there on the corner where this candy store was. So anyhow, this influenza, this cholera came, and the people were dying. And there was nobody to take care of them. Well, it was an undertaker, Mr. Spire. I don't know if you remember him or not.
You remember him.
He was a registered undertaker. He had license.
On 2nd Street he was?
He lived on 2nd Street, next to Weintraub the Fishway. You know where Weintraub the
Fishway is? 2nd and Tatnall.
2nd and Orange.
Orange.
Okay, I'm sorry.
2nd and Orange.
Okay.
And his place, he used to have a second-hand furniture store.
Okay.
But he was an old man already then, but when you saw him lit up a cigar, you know he had a dead body. And he never lit up a cigar until he'd get a funeral, you see. But he'd always have a cigar in his mouth,
yeah,
you
right.
But anyhow, this flu was going on, and one morning I was standing on the corner, and there comes Alec Hirschman.
Yeah.
You remember?
No.
And Harry Sloan.
We weren't born then.
Yeah.
I wasn't born.
Harry Sloan.
I said Sloan's father.
Harry Sloan, Sam Sloan's
father. Charcoal Pitt's father.
Yeah, I got it.
Harry Sloan, he was a cripple, a little guy, a cripple on one foot, you know.
I'm going there today to play Mahjong. Go ahead.
And he used to be in partners with a guy in a junk business by the name of Sterling.
Right.
You know? His name was Sterling. They had a junk shop 2nd and West.
Sterling.
See? So he came out with Alec Hirschman, and he was a heavy condition man, both of them. Alec Hirschman was at the store 405, where Charlie Shomer used to have his store.
Yeah.
On Tatnall Street, 409, I think it was, 407.
Yeah.
Tatnall Street, he had his store, Alec Hirschman.
Okay.
He used to do canvassing, extra, you know, he used to peddle around.
Yeah.
And they came over and they said, look, what are you staying and looking? You're a young man. I said, what do you want? I was standing on the corner, 2nd and Orange. My brother had the candy store there. He said, I want you to help us to bury the bodies. We can't take care of them. He said, you're young, you're healthy. I said, yeah, I'm healthy, but I'm working. He said, not when you work. Do it when you don't work. Anyhow, they talked me in and I wanted to become a heavy condition man when I was 17 years old. And I still am.
Where is the cemetery you were burying? Where were you?
Same place.
Same place?
A little bit. It was a little small.
The Lombardi.
Lombardi Cemetery. Okay. Same place, but small. We bought two lots. Since we bought two plots, you know. We bought for four times as big now.
I'm finished.
And I buried the people, that's all. And I've been burying people all my life.
Let me ask you, I'm about finished here. Just tell me anything you want to add to this, anything you want to say, so that if somebody plays this, say, 50 years from now, 20 years from now, what do you want to tell them? Anything?
Tell them the one thing I want to tell them.
What?
Is to stick to your religion.
All right.
And God bless you.
Yeah.
And you'll go through it. And I did.
Okay.
And millions of people like me did. If you stick to what you belong, and don't try to go on the wrong track. And that's all I can tell you.
Okay.
And I believe I told you enough, Mom.
I believe you told us enough.